Welcome to the Women in Fire Radio Show, mentoring and why is it important in the fire service. Thank you to Fire Engineering for allowing Women in Fire to be part of your radio show. I'm Lisa Baker. I'm the Southwest Regional Trustee for Women in Fire. Today, we're going to talk about mentoring. Is it important? What it is? And why does the fire service need to look at it? So mentoring, by definition, is to support and encourage people to manage their own learning in order that they may maximize their potential, develop their skill, improve their performance, and become the person they want to be. Mentoring involves a mentor and a mentee. The mentor is the person who can support, advise, and guide you. A mentor has the potential to become a lifelong friend. A mentor will help you grow as a person. This may involve helping you achieve your personal or career goals, introducing you to new ways of thinking, challenging you, limiting your assumptions, sharing valuable life lessons. A mentor is the student who needs to absorb the mentor's knowledge and have the ambition and desire to know what to do with the knowledge. So today I have an excellent panel of guests. I have Sharon McDowell, who is the deputy chief in Tucson, Arizona Fire Department. She's currently serving as the interim deputy director over the city's 911 center as they work to stabilize the operations and staffing. She's been with Tucson Fire since 1990, progressing through the ranks of firefighter, paramedic, captain, battalion chief, and deputy chief. She's managed fire operations, medical administration, safety, and 911 communication centers, developing and implementing innovative solutions to long-standing and trending industry issues. We have Kalia Yancey, who's also known as Nikki. She's the functional trustee of Women in Fire, and she's currently a lieutenant in the Baltimore City Fire Department. She began her career as a fire cadet while in high school in Baltimore. She's also risen through the ranks as a firefighter, paramedic, and fire operations. She also has served in the office of the fire marshal, as a fire inspector, and as a lieutenant. She also has worked as a senior operations aide in the office of the director of fire logistics. In 2019, she received a lateral promotion to lieutenant within the fire operations bureau. She has a degree in organizational safety and health. Currently, she's enrolled in the Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute. And then we have Adrienne Zion, who is the secretary and treasurer of Women in Fire. She's also a mentor in the Women in Fire mentor program. She's a captain and the health and safety officer at the DeKalb County Fire Rescue. She has been in the fire service for 26 years in both operations and administration. She has a bachelor's degree in multidisciplinary studies and a master's degree in performance improvements. She grew up in a public servant family as her father was a Chicago police officer. So Women in Fire does have a mentoring program, and their goal is to create a formal mentoring program which allows members to find support and leadership through networking and with other members. We feel a successful mentor program is relevant on active participation of Women in Fire members who are interested in sharing their knowledge and experience. The application can be downloaded under the membership area of Women in Fire. So welcome to my guests. I appreciate you being here, taking time out of your busy days to join the Women in Fire radio show. And so let's go ahead and get started. So what makes a good mentor? Anyone?
I think the most important thing to be considered when you're looking for good mentors is just a true passion for what you do. An ability to really care about the profession you're in and to want to assure its well-being and its health far into the future. I like to tell people that my plans when I retire are to be the crazy lady at Walmart. And what I mean by that is that I want to stay here, work hard so that when I leave here so that I have mentored enough up and coming leaders, that the system continues to work, that the fixes are there, that they're longstanding, that the training is brought up a notch to meet whatever challenges the community gives us. So I think really the biggest, most important thing is just that passion for the profession and for the community and the people working in it.
I totally agree. And I think that when people choose mentors, they always got to think about what are some of their self-values. So when I'm looking for a mentor, I'm personally looking for somebody with integrity that's leading by example that I may want to follow and that I feel is like truthful and that I think that I can just learn many different things from. So I totally agree with what she was saying, but I think you also got to make sure that you have your values and morals in place so that you can decide what type of mentor you're looking for that fits you.
Okay, thank you. So I'm sure, and you made some good points. You kind of went into succession planning to some degree with your answer, and that was going to be one of my questions. Do you feel that mentorship helps with success in planning?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the difficulties in our profession, and then even to further categorize it as women in this profession, it is hard to gain wisdom, right? Wisdom comes from time, comes from experience. And while we could coach people through skills and basics and professionalism and behavior and how to manage employees, the mentoring, the big difference there is that I can take the skills that we taught them and actually help them understand how to apply them. Here's why it's not a cookie cutter approach. We all know this about fire scene management, right? It's not a cookie cutter approach. You start out with that. And I would even go so far as to say a lot of us, when we first get those first fires and we're managing a scene, it is cookie cutter because that's the knowledge base we have. We have those skills. We know enough, but we don't know everything that allows us to just be super fluid and able to adjust on the fly. So those, if we take that logic and apply it just to that succession planning piece, when we step away from these professions that we've been in for a long time, a lot of knowledge goes with us. So we have to take time to share that history, how we got to where we got, so that we don't retreat back. You know, I've watched that in so many departments where just because of a loss of knowledge, we end up recycling old problems that had we taken the time to mentor and help people truly understand, not that we just stepped away from this way of doing things, but here's the reasons why, and here's how to apply that reasonable deduction to the next issue so that you're making really good concerted efforts. So handing that off to your subordinates or the up and comers in your department, super important, just critical.
And Sharon, it's funny you mentioned that. I was just talking about that today. And I think part of that mentoring piece, like you said, that's the sustainability. When we are, that helps people too, to figure out where they want to be. It's so many different avenues to go into in the fire service. And often we don't know. I remember just having a ton of interest in several things, but I knew my passion was, I cared about who we brought into the organization. And that's how I ended up, I volunteered to help in recruitment. And that's how I ended up in recruitment, you know, and it's so many other places. But when you have a mentor, they help you, you know, figure all of that out. You weed through all of the other stuff and figure out, oh, wow, I'm good at this particular thing, or I have a passion for that. And so it's, I think it's really important to help someone, to have someone to help you figure that out, because by it being so many different avenues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exploit the strengths, you know.
Right.
I know when I went to a women's fire conference, I was so gung-ho to learn from other women about how to lead men, right? Because I lead men. And I was sorely disappointed to find that there were no classes like that. We weren't willing to talk about those one-offs, those little pieces that are missing. Like, we all get plenty of training on ICS and fire scene management and medical management and all these things, but what are the unique things for each individual? And it's not just about us being women. It's about, what are my weaknesses and who could help me through that? How do I identify them? And then how do I fill the gaps that I have in there? Not just a book lesson. How do
right.
I apply it and make it work?
And I totally agree with that. Like, personally, I recently met with some women in my department who should be up next for promotion. And I was telling them, as a woman, there are some differences in the way you have to lead. Yeah. Just from, you have to make sure that you know your blind spots, be able to be comfortable with them and tell and share them with people, because those are things that they'll take to try to knock you down. Also, your attitude and your tone. the way we express ourselves is different than men. So we have to be able to understand things like that. And, you know, so that we can be expressive without them feeling like, oh, she's just, you know, nagging or she's just complaining. So you have to be able to make sure you can articulate and say the things you want to say in a way that they're going to be receptive of it as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, mentorship doesn't just stop there with us, you know, teaching the next young women to move up, but it's our mentorship has to go into the male spectrum too, to teach them, hey, you've got a female firefighter. Here's how you actually deal with them. You don't get to go in guns a-blazing on certain conversations, right? And more, it's so much less about gender and things like that. And it's a lot more about just respecting an individual, right? It's not, oh, the women are like this. It's like, hey, this particular person needs this from me, male, female, whatever they are, right? That's when you start to get just beyond the skill set and you get into the wisdom pieces of it, right? So when you say you're mentoring, and I've heard both of you say that, and I love that we're all kind of on the same track here, is there comes a piece where we have to mentor beyond our comfort level to help them be able to help us. Does that make sense?
It does. And not even just the difference in gender, but culturally, the differences. So like you said, showing that empathy and compassion for, we think differently, but we can still come together to accomplish the goal. And so often, especially as an officer and leaders, executive staff, you have to know how to do that because you're dealing with all these different personalities, let alone these new millennials.
You know,
completely different from us. Yeah.
So true. They're just motivated by different things than we are. You know, coming over to manage the comm center has just been a huge eye opener for me because it's a totally different work group, right? It's not the alphas and the macho and the physical. It's just a different work group. It's a little more emotional. And I remember my first few days here just going, oh my goodness, this wasn't in any of my leadership classes, right? And it's just a different audience. And what they needed from me versus what the troops back home need from me is two totally different things. And your ability to adapt to get to a goal, right? Just what you said is, we can have our differences. We just got to get to this common goal together. And the true art of that mentorship is figuring out, what does this person need from me to get there, to join me?
Right.
Mm-hmm. As a leader, I'm sorry, go ahead, Aiden.
Oh, I was just going to say, we had a unique situation where we had some Saudi Arabian firefighters come over to get the hands-on training. They have all this technical training, but weren't able to use it. And we were able to partnership with them and come. And so needless to say, the cultural difference of how they do things, you know, was very eye-opening for a lot of people. You know, they're Muslims, they function different, they eat different. And so it was, but we still had a lot of fun and they loved the firefighting aspect because they had all this training and never got to put it to use. So it was a lot of fun, but very eye-opening.
Oh, absolutely.
Nikki, did you have something?
Now, I was just going to tie into basically what they both said. It's just like, whether you're a mentor, a leader, you just have to know your people and you have to adapt to, everybody needs different things from you. And sometimes those are things you have to come out your comfort zone and understand that you have to adapt to their level because that's the only way they're going to, you know, learn. And I always tell people, like for me, as far as like my crew or people that are under me, like I'm only as good as my people. So if you know, if I know, then I need to make sure that you know, and I share my experiences and hope that they do the same. And that's how we learn and grow.
I find myself doing a lot of listening, more so than I would have imagined. But you got to be listening and seeing where they are. And like you said, meet them where they are. So
that was actually going to be one of the questions is, do you feel all company officers should be a mentor? And we've kind of just got into that. I mean, with your crew every day, you have to pretty much mentor them. I mean, you could learn from everybody in life. I mean, there's some things anybody we could learn from. We could take away one piece of information from this individual, another from this individual. And we could also learn some things that how we don't want to be from certain people. I'm sure we've all worked with company officers or witnessed company officers, chiefs, even firefighters. And we say, we don't want to be that way. And so we could always learn from someone else. So we just kind of did hit on that about should company officers be a mentor. And so and getting out of our comfort zone and such. So do you think that even as a company officer that's going to mentor a crew or just to be a mentor, do you think that a mentor needs to do a self-assessment on their own to figure out what they might not be strong in that they might be able to learn from a mentor, like a mentee? When we like start a mentor-mentee relationship, a one-on-one relationship with someone, we probably ask the mentee to do a SMART analysis or, you know, weaknesses and strengths. But do you think as a mentor wanting to be a mentor to someone, do you think that the mentor should also maybe sit down and do their SMART goals and realize where their weaknesses are? Because they may be able to, like Adrian mentioned, a mentor might be able to learn or will probably learn something from a mentee.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, you can never stop learning. You learn from everybody. Everybody has something to offer. And I just stated that to a young lady that I was able to meet at the Women in Fire Conference. She's only got 3 years on, but I was so impressed with her. And I told her she is light years in her thinking process ahead of where I was when I was in my third year of my career. She knows that she wants to teach. She's learning. She's constantly reading. She texted me the other day and said that they let her ride as the officer in charge. She had a fire. She hit all her benchmarks. And so that's what I told her. I applauded her because she was way ahead of me than I was in my 3 years. So everybody has something to bring to the table. But I definitely feel as a leader, as a mentor, you should be always evolving. You're always evolving because things are changing. These new firefighters that are coming in, they're different. So you need to always evolve. And if it's information that you don't know the resources where to get that. You know, don't just try to, wade your way through the waters. Let me get some information and get back to you. I tell my people that when I first went to the station as an officer, I said, if it's something I don't know, I'm going to tell you I don't know, and I'm going to find out, you know, so that we'll all know. We're not going to be walking around blindly listening to rumors or anything like that. We're going to walk around informed with factual information. Mm-hmm. So I think you should always be evolving and learning and gathering information and assessing yourself.
I think at the point that we decide we've learned enough, that's when we get really dangerous. You know, just not just on the fire ground, but even as just leaders who are bringing up the next group, and it makes you closed-minded. It takes away your ability to be a visionary. There's so many reasons. You're just spot on all of those pieces. And I know you originally had asked the question, could anybody be a mentor? I think that's a little bit delicate because we've all seen the people who can really take a crew and bring them down, right?
Yes.
We've all been exposed to people who wanted to bring us down, had misery loves company and a strong person. I know that when I've taken people on my academy and said, okay, where do I take this little baby and put them in this nice place where they're going to raise them up right and take good care of them? I'm picky, right? Because I've got to find that balance. But I've also had those super strong new recruits just graduating who I think, this guy, this woman could go change that station. Like they could go change that whole crew because they're strong and they've got that power about them. So mentoring up is just as important as mentoring down and across. I think it's iffy. I think you've got to assess the whole situation, not just yourself in the mirror, but let me look at us as a team. Who needs what here? How do we fill in the gaps and make your selections there?
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we talk about mentoring in the fire department, we think of a one-on-one where a company officer or the senior firefighter takes the probationary firefighter, the recruit firefighter, the officer takes the person that wants to be a company officer kind of under their wing and shows them, how to be the company officer, what to do and such. And the senior firefighter kind of mentors the individual on the ins and outs of the daily lives of a crew life. But I think a lot of people don't think about the one-on-one mentorship that probably happens behind closed doors that everybody probably isn't privy to as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why there are mentor programs. But you've all made some really good, excellent points about company officers need to be mentors and what they bring to the table. So what makes a good mentee? the person that being mentored?
Someone who's willing.
We were saying the same thing. Somebody who's willing to learn and listen, because you have to listen in order to learn. But I think that's one of the main things. You have to be willing to learn and ready for whatever somebody brings to you, whether it's constructive criticism or positive, you know, affirmations or whatever. You just have to be willing to listen to that person and ready for them to feed into you.
Mm-hmm. It takes work, even as a mentee. I've had mentors that have given you steps or like homework. And, you know, people frown. They think, you know, they see you with that brass on. They're like, that's the good life. I want that life. And when you give them, okay, this is, where are we with this? What are you doing with this? Where have you done? How have you prepared yourself? And when you start laying it out and it doesn't look like fun anymore, and sometimes they frown on that, but they have to understand that it's work. And so you have to be willing to put in the work.
Yeah. I know I'm known here a little bit for coaching people who are wishing to promote. And I spend as much time with them as they're willing to spend. I'm very generous with that. And we go over everything. And, you know, I have a handful walk in and say, I just want to know what I need to know for the test. I just want to get through the simulator. I just want to get through. And I say, well, then you're in the wrong place, right? Because my goal isn't to help someone do good on tests. It's to help them be a good chief officer or a good captain or whatever role they're looking to go to. And they, you know, you see that back step where they're like, oh, wait a second. I didn't know she was going to really pick on me like this. I'm successful. Like my mentees are, they end up at the top of the list. I think one of our most recent was 7 of the top 8 were mine. So they know that I have a valuable input to it, but it's the ones who want it, who really want to do it. And I don't want to teach them, well, if then, you have to be able to adjust to the whole system and situation all the time. If I teach you about a personnel issue and this person's just a little different, you know, I think back to some of my early mentors, and probably my best one was a gentleman named Dave who never saw a difference in us. We were both smart people with the same goal, and he treated me that way. And I try to apply that logic, because some of my early mentors came in and said, well, you know, you just got to act a little bit more like the guys, like go up and poke that guy in the chest and tell him. And I thought, I'm a foot shorter than him. That's not going to work for me. I got to use my flavor, right? Because we have to come from our place of a genuine character. Like we're a genuine person. And if you try to adopt somebody else's style, then it looks like it. It looks like fake. It's not genuine. People don't have that trust in you. So what you should be looking for, I think, in those mentors and those mentees is, let me come and meet with, like, say us three ladies, we're all mentors for the same department. They would relate to one of us a little more than the other, right? They'd come and they'd go, let me take a little bit of what she said versus a little bit of what he said, and let me put it all together and take the best pieces that suit me, that sound real for me. So I don't remember now the original question, but I appreciate the conversation on the work and our ability to guide that is, you know, we've got to have people willing on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, you just made some really excellent points. When I have people come to me wanting to prepare for an assessment center as well, they're like, they come and they all are fixated on the emergency scenario scene. And that's all they want to practice is emergency scenario. Let's practice. And I'm like, that's a small portion of your job. So let's, you know, let's practice on the soft skills, so to speak, of, you know, writing and personnel issues and customer service and community service and such. And they kind of look at you like, no, I just want to pass the test. And I'm like, well, then you're in the wrong place, because we need people that could do the soft skills. That's where departments get in trouble, is people can't handle the personnel issues and they can't handle the customer service issues and such. And the fires, I mean, they're going to go out. I mean, you can make a mistake at a fire as long as you correct it really similar. The fire is probably going to go out. And so I agree with you on that. And there's a lot of companies, as we know, have assessment center classes and charge you numerous amounts of money and stuff. And I always tell them the same thing that you had just mentioned is you could learn something from everything. So take a bit of information from everybody, but then you also need to sit back and realize, is that how we really do it in my agency? Do I have the ability? I mean, to send somebody home, if somebody's saying send somebody home and you don't have that ability, that's probably not something you want to do. So I agree with you on that 100% that, you know, you could learn something from everybody, and company officers do need to mentor the next generation, just as battalion chiefs need to mentor the company officers and such, so that when these positions come up for fire chiefs and agencies, we're hiring from within, because sometimes hiring from without has an impact on the morale. So sometimes hiring from within also has an impact on the morale. So that's kind of a give and take scenario. But if you do have people that are qualified, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. And Lisa, you had asked, do I think that every officer should be a mentor? They should obviously be coaching and training their people, but I really don't think everybody should be a mentor, because some people just don't have people skills.
I agree.
And I've worked with guys before. I worked with a guy that was an amazing paramedic. I mean, his skill set was amazing. And he would share that information, but he was very brash when he talked to people. And I told him, you're not going to make it as an officer. And he couldn't believe it. He was shocked. And I told him, I'm telling you that because I like you. You're all of that, you know, extra that you have doesn't bother me. But that's going to bother a lot of people, especially these new people. It's going to keep you in some trouble. And you don't want that. You need to, and I'm not saying change, alter who you are, but tone it down. Think before you speak. I'm not saying coddle and baby and be somebody you're not, but everybody should not be mentoring.
No, I agree with you on that one. And there was that saying, you could, is sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
It's how you say it.
How you say it. So
it's how you say it.
Yeah, I mean, so I think
it goes back to, like I said, like with when we speak, we have to watch our tune and our tone, mm-hmm. because it may not be meant to come off in a bad or negative way.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to watch the way you say things. Like, I know for me, when I'm very passionate about things, sometimes people can take it as if I'm being aggressive or, you know, like mean, and I'm not. I'm just like passionate about, example, customer service at work. We will treat all the citizens like they deserve to be treated. If it's a fire call or an EMS call, we're going to act in the same manner. The same way you want to run for that fire, I want you to run for that cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. So they may take that as like, oh, the way she's talking to me. No, I'm just very passionate about all aspects of the job, not just fighting fire.
Right.
Yeah. You've all said it a couple of times. A lot of times as females, we're saying we're yelling. We're not yelling. It's just a whole different atmosphere that we could say something the same way a man is saying it, yet we're yelling and saying it in a condescending tone. But the male is like saying it just perfectly how it should come out, and they're totally articulate.
You know, it's very funny. When I would have, I had the great luck of, first of all, I was the first female chief here, right? So, anytime I went on a fire scene, everybody was tuning in, right? They're looking for an error. They're looking for, how's she going to do?
Yeah.
And one thing that was funny is how many people came back to me and said, wow, you're just so calm. And in fact, they, after a while, got used to the idea that if things were really getting deep on that scene, I just got, they're like, you were getting calm. I knew it was going south. Like, you were getting really mellowed out. And I thought, that's funny. Because I think I did just what both of you have said. I developed an awareness about what's my delivery style, right? Are my listeners hearing me? Because if they're not, I'm failing. You could say you're a leader, but if you look behind you and nobody's following you, you're not a leader, period. And if you have to point to your badge to make people think you are, you've got a problem. So I, you know, a lot of self-awareness goes into any of these positions of leadership, and self-awareness goes into your position as a mentor too. But there is a piece that says, I've got to go home and look in the mirror every day and say, did I do the right things for the right reasons? If I did, I'm okay. Regardless of any of these negative criticisms coming in, I'm okay. I'm good. And you teach these up and comers who you know to be, you know, passionate and desiring all the right positions for all the right reasons, and you help them find that too, so that they can self-regulate and they can self-adjust to what their listeners and their audience and their followership needs from them.
So I think we've already hit on this a little bit, but what does a mentee bring to the relationship? So if it's a one-on-one mentor-mentee relationship that you've entered into, a formal mentor-mentoring relationship, and you've set SMART goals and you've agreed to meet on certain days and you've given them homework, as such has been mentioned, what does a mentee bring to the relationship?
Opportunity. Because as a mentor, when you go in with a cookie cutter approach, well, first I'm going to teach you this, then I'm going to talk about that. And this person's not tracking. Now, as a mentor, I'm going, oh, wait a minute. I got to find a new style. I've got to tell a story to help them understand it. Or I've got to really point out the important parts because he's picking up the wrong parts. So mentees, it's no different, right, in some ways of you're looking at your children. And they're different. They're born with personalities, same parents, same upbringing, and yet you tell this one to stop and he goes, okay. And you tell this one to stop and it's a challenge. So there's an adjustment. You have to make an adjustment. And I think the same thing holds true of mentees. They teach you to adjust. And as they teach you to adjust, you just become a better mentor because now you've had that, you get to put that in your back pocket and I have it for next time and I can apply it here, you know? So they bring opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Again, they teach you to learn yourself.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're figuring out, you're thinking, okay, I have it in my mind. This is how we're going to do this. And they might bring something else to the table. Like, well, I was thinking about that. I would be like, oh, that's a great idea. Well, let's go down that avenue, especially if that's something that works for you. Because the bottom line is we want the best outcome for that individual. And so whatever that is, then that's where we need to be heading. So yeah, they definitely will have you learning about yourself.
And especially, I think if we're mentoring, especially Sharon, I think you were in the academy. I know Nikki, you did hands-on training. I'm sure Adrian, you've been in the helped at the academy in your department, and you have somebody that's struggling with something and they're just not understanding. Let's use the chainsaw for an example. A lot of people have difficulty if they've never started power tools with the chainsaw, and you keep trying to show them and it's just not getting through. Sometimes I think as a mentor, we have to kind of step back and realize that maybe it's my approach, how I'm teaching this person. I'm teaching them how I learned, but maybe there's a way that somebody else could show them to help. They could understand what this person's trying to say a little bit better than I, because we all learn differently. So maybe sometimes, especially with hands-on stuff, the approach as a mentor that you're trying to get to the mentee just isn't getting through to them. So sometimes as a mentor, I think we need to step back and say, maybe it's my approach, and have maybe somebody else, especially with hands-on equipment, ask and say, can you maybe help with this and see if you can show this individual how to, my example was to start the chainsaw.
You know, we had just
talked about,
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was going to say, I think we touched on that. That's knowing your strengths and weaknesses. So like you said, if you approach something and they're still not getting it, then you use your resources, because again, it's not about you, it's about them. Mm-hmm. And so I know I have somebody, that a guy came to me with help about, he's trying to pass EMT school. I haven't been to EMT school in forever, but I had a paramedic instructor that was willing to help him. Let me reach out. So just, again, it's not about us. It's about making sure they have the resources that they need. So if they're not comprehending what I'm saying, okay, let's go at this another avenue.
You know, one of the things I do early on, right away, when someone has asked me for some help, is I ask them, how do you learn? Like, what works for you? How do you learn? And people always have an answer on that. They're like, you know what? I'm not good with the books. Like, the books don't, I got to get my hands on it. Mm-hmm. Some people say, well, I got to read it, and then I got to put my hands on it. And I look at a lot of training programs, you know, usually in the fire service, I think as a profession, we do pretty good, right? We show a slideshow, PowerPoint, then we give a lesson, and then we take them outside and we say, here, buy it. Here over at the comm center, there's none of the hands-on. So they just give you this book full of info, and, you know, then they give you a 300 question test. That just doesn't work. What they need is, and we just revamped some of this, what they need is that time, learn this in a bite. Now let's go apply it. Then now let's learn this bite and let's go apply it. And I think we have to look at mentorship the same way, right? We have to say, remember last time I taught you that if a person acts like this, you're going to do that. Now let's take it a step further. What's the next logical piece, right? What's the step from, I don't know your ranks in your department, but I'm for our department, from you go from captain to chief to deputy, or captain, battalion chief, deputy chief, and so on. But one of the first things I say, well, what do you think is that next piece? Like if you're moving from captain to battalion chief, what do you think the difference is? And you see them just kind of, I don't know, like, you know, you're moving away from a friend and you're out of the friend zone now. You are truly an administrator. What's that bridge look like? How do I navigate that bridge? That's, in my opinion, one of the most important things you can ask when you get a new mentee is, how do you learn? Like, what are your challenges? How do you learn? And let me try to customize my teaching to what you need.
I totally agree. And I feel like that.
I'm sorry, Adrian.
I was just going to say, I totally agree.
And I learned about myself that I absorb the most information at a certain time of the day. I'm a peak learner. And like you said, that's good information to know. And I'm glad you said that. I never even thought to ask somebody that, but I know for sure I'm a reader than a hands-on. So that's good. I'll have to use that in the future.
Agreed. That's what I was just going to say. Like you, that's one of the things as a mentor and a mentee, it's good to exercise that cone of learning, needing to know what is going to help this person get everything that I'm trying to show them. And so just asking them, like, what's your way? Like for me, it's reading and I need to write it. And that's how I learn it. So some people, like, you make all of these notes, but that's how I digest everything that I need to know. So I just think that that's very important. And people can read more and learn about it with the cone of learning and learn how to add that into your mentorship skills.
I agree. So what are the misconceptions about mentoring? I'm sure we've all heard there's misconceptions. People go into a mentee-mentor relationship and they're really not sure what it is, because there's no set goals. But what are some other misconceptions that you think might be about mentoring?
I think one big one, and I think it's an important one, I think most programs approach as if mentoring is for unsuccessful employees. And I would beg to differ. I think it's for your rock stars, right? I think we need to invest in everybody, but there will be people who are not willing to invest themselves. And I want to spend my time more with the people who want to invest themselves. So those are the rock stars, right? They're the ones just waiting to be fed this information. And I think that's a huge misconception, because I think a lot of people say, well, this guy's a problem over here. Can you mentor them? Could you give them some help? Well, sure. But that's not what all mentorship is for. Mentorship is for picking out those future leaders, those next people that are going to take your place, and investing in them. And then I think another misconception is just what you had touched on earlier, is that mentorship is one-sided. It's not. Both of us are learning in the process. We just are. We're becoming better leaders when we mentor.
I think people think that the mentor has all the answers, like you touched on with the, I just need the answers to the test. I'm just trying to get to the next level, so I need to pass this test. Like you said, it's much broader than that. It's making ensure that that person is well-rounded, so that when you do reach the next step, you're well-prepared.
Yeah, I think the other misconceptions is it has to be someone that's older, someone that's been in a position for a length of time, or somebody that has to be within your own organization or in your own locate or near you, or live in the same state or a city over or something. And that it only benefits the mentees, when we've mentioned it has numerous benefits for both the mentor and the mentee, such as communication and leadership skills. So sometimes when people think of a mentor, and even like in a rank, let's say you're taking a lieutenant's test, which in my organization was the first rank of company officer. And you know, as a lieutenant, there's a chance you might be on a truck company because there's truck companies within the city, yet you've never had the opportunity to really be assigned to a truck company for whatever reason. But you know, as a company officer, you're going to be moving around a lot because there's just no openings and you're going to be filling in where there's openings and you just don't have the knowledge for the truck company. So I think a good person to go to, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, correct me if you don't agree, is it's to find a senior firefighter who's been on a truck company for, you know, their whole career. Some people have no desire to promote. So you might find somebody that's been at a busy truck company for 10, 20 years and to have the courage to go up to them and say, hey, I'm number three or whatever. I just took the lieutenant's test. I passed it. I don't have a lot of truck experience. Can you show me the ins and out of a truck? Or even if the first day you're there. But I think in my own opinion, it takes a lot for us to do that, to admit that we don't have all the answers, especially if we're already in that position. But it also shows that you're a leader, that you want to learn, and you realize that even a firefighter, you could learn something from that firefighter because they have the knowledge of being on that truck for such a long period of time. That's just my personal
opinion. Yeah, I agree. When I went to back to operations, I hadn't been in operations in 3 years and I hadn't been assigned to a truck company in probably 12 years. And I was filling in on the truck. And so I went to my truckies. I'm going to be on you every day, following you around in the morning. When you check the truck, I want you to go over this thing with me every single day. Because when we get on these assignments, I need to know what's in these compartments, where these tools are. You're going to be setting up the aerial. We need to be doing our thing. So yeah, I'm never scared to ask for help because especially in our profession, when you don't and you don't have the correct information, it can be the difference of someone's life. And that's something that I'm not willing to deal with. So I'm never ashamed to say, I don't know, I'm not familiar, please show me. And I encourage everyone, use your resources. I say that all the time. Do not sit over there and be misinformed or don't have correct information or be needing help. Utilize your resources. It's too easy.
And I think that makes you a strong leader, mm-hmm. just being able to, you know, say those things and know that and willing to do the work to make sure that you can fix any insufficiencies that you feel that you may have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and when they see you do that as a leader, it makes it okay for them to do that. That's mentoring right there. Just you asking and saying, you know what, I don't know, I'm not the pro, I'm gonna talk to someone. I don't care if he's the janitor, I don't care, right? I'm gonna learn something from him and ask him why. Yeah. And when they see you do that, it takes away that, hey, I gotta pretend like I know everything, otherwise nobody's gonna trust me. Well, it's not true. When you act like you know everything, nobody trusts you.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
You've got to be willing to be humble.
Yeah.
And I just trust think it's so important.
Yeah. And I just think, well, that's a big misconception that you can only learn from somebody that's older than you or in a higher rank than you. And as we've mentioned throughout this whole show, that you could learn something from everybody. But that was just an example that I had, that if you don't have the knowledge of something, you could always go to someone that's a rank below you and ask them for the information.
Yeah.
So I think we already hit on this, but do you think that there's a difference in your own opinion between mentoring and coaching?
I certainly do. I think, you know, I think to make it clear in my head, I think that coaching is teaching the skills. So if we talk about leadership, I'll teach you the skills, right? We'll put you through a leadership class. We'll show you how to deal with different personalities. We'll teach you the different styles of leadership. Autocratic, Democrat, right? All of those styles. We'll teach you all of that. We'll give you tests to make sure you absorbed it. The mentoring is working to build the wisdom about knowing how to apply that skill set. To me, that's the difference. That you say, okay, yeah, I know you learned that. And you have that discussion with them. Hey, how did it go? So I think about a role play that we have used in the past here, where we say, okay, you're a brand new captain. You just got dispatched to a bar for a fight and a drunk guy fell off his bar stool. And you get there and it's your training captain, right? Not a good moment. What would you do? And we teach all the rules that say, you know, the cops are there. They said they want to take him. But then there's the you know, the brotherhood, the family, the sisterhood that says, no, I'm going to get them off the hook and take them home. But instead you take that moment to learn. And you teach it, and it says, you know what, boss, I love you. and I'm going to take your keys. I'm going to get your car home. I'll go feed your dogs while you're in jail because you're in trouble. And then I'm going to help this officer get you out to the police car, right? I'm still going to be that family member to you, the fire service family member to you. I'm just not going to go and cross this line. That stuff that I can't just write it down in a book and teach that skill. It takes a life moment to teach them when to apply and gather the wisdom, right? That's the good parts that come from experience. The experience could also turn you the other way. And then when we look at this younger generation and what they bring to us, I mean, you've all heard the term woke, right? They just look at life different, right? We're learning from, I know I learn from my daughters all the time. I'm like, boy, that wasn't something I would have thought of at all. They have much less life experience than me, but they have new experience and they look through a different lens. And so when I can look through their lens, I know that if I talk to all of you individually, you have different lenses that you look through every day, just like I do, because life brought you to that lens, right? Whatever those factors are. And sometimes those young people or less experienced people bring that to us. So the wisdom, when I say wisdom, it's not definitely associated to, well, I've done it a million times and I have all this knowledge. It's the wisdom that they have where they sit and then the ability to apply it. To me, that's that mentorship. Whereas the coaching is the skills. I'll teach you the skills now. Let me go teach you how to apply it.
Mm-hmm. I'm like you. My niece she's always teaching me something all the time. And she's 30, but she has so much knowledge. But she, like you said, from what she's grown up so fast because of social media, mm-hmm. they're exposed to so much so quickly. And so, but she's always teaching me something that either I haven't heard of, don't know about, or I'll say, let me consult her on that, especially when I'm dealing with young people, because they're more touchy-feely than we are. Yep. They need some confirmation, affirmation when they're doing things. And so I learn a lot from her on how to just engage and interact with them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know I could learn about PowerPoints from somebody. Actually, I was teaching a class and it had the wrong phone number on there. And so someone in the class was, oh, I can fix that right now. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. But I think, yeah, we've mentioned it numerous times throughout this program. We all could learn from everybody, whether it's formal or informal mentoring. Now, do any of your departments have a mentoring program in place right now?
We don't. We have, our program is just kind of organic. You know, I take a special interest in somebody and or they seek me out because they, you know, someone recommended that they talk to me or whatever. And it's, you know, it's just kind of organic out there. And I know we have family members on the department too. Certainly a lot of mentoring that goes on there. And then, you know, we had for a little while a women's group that I think there was special interest in helping other women. But there's nothing formal. There's just little bits and pieces that kind of happen organically.
We're kind of the same. We have informal mentoring, but we are about to definitely put in place a mentoring program for our high school students that come in, because to me, they really need it. They're still kids and they're sometimes not ready for the mindset that the fire service has to offer to them. So if they can have a mentor to be with them along the way and show them all the different things that they should be looking forward to, show them the do's and don'ts, the ins and outs, and just help them along in their career, I think that's very important and one of the things that our department recognizes we need to work on immediately.
So we just started a mentoring program for new officers. But again, I'm like Kalila, where I think we need it at the beginning, when you first get out of recruit school. So I try to attend all the graduations and I definitely extend myself to everyone, but I take a special interest in the women because obviously, like everybody else, our numbers are low. We have so few women and I feel like we kind of throw them out there and they feel like they're on an island. And I just like to emphasize, you're not alone. We've all done this before. Don't be afraid to use your resources. I give them all my personal cell phone number. Call me anytime, ask me anything. If I don't know it, I'll find out. We'll find out together. So, but I think we need a program there. So that's one of those low-hanging fruits that I did mention to the fire chief that I just haven't been able to get to yet.
It's kind of funny because where I just retired from, there was no formal mentoring program either. They have like where they do some classes with new officers and with new chiefs, they'll do some stuff, but there's no formal mentoring program in place that you actually, I mean, there's probation obviously, but there's no like mentoring. And like Sharon said, people seek out mentors. And then like Sharon, you mentioned it too. Sometimes we'll see somebody that we know has the potential to be the next great leader, so to speak. And we'll, and sometimes as leaders, we seek them out. I mean, I've known, I have done it, and it's, I mean, it, we just want to help that next, the person get to where we want to see them be, that they have the potential. And sometimes they don't see it in themselves, especially, I think, Adrian, you mentioned the three, the girl that had been at the conference that had been in for 3 years. Sometimes they don't realize the potential that they have because nobody's really telling them that they have that potential, or nobody is telling them that they could do A, B, and C. And they might even be being told that they can't do A, B, and C. So sometimes seeking out people, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great go ahead, Adrian. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kalila.
I was just going to say that's one of the great takeaways from the conference is that I think when it brought all of the women together and seeing women from various departments in various places across the U.S., that we can all do it, you know. And I think that that helped inspire a lot of different people. And that's one of the great takeaways that I think the young lady that Adrian is speaking of, I think that's what inspired her to want to get back into doing this, because she had given up for a minute. But I think seeing that and then speaking to people that like Adrian that were able to feed into her, it just rejuvenated her and gave her a fresh outlook. And I'm so happy that Adrian was able to sit there and talk with her, because I was a witness to it, and Adrian was amazing.
Oh, thank you, Kalila. She just, I mean, she came over with so, she spoke so eloquently, and she, you could tell she had such passion and dedication, but she referenced, because she's not being fed in her department, you know, she said she's a gay Black woman and all the odds are against her and they don't like her. And she went through this whole thing and she talked about quitting and that the conference rejuvenated her. And so just in conversation, I just told her, I was blown away by her. I was just listening to her. I was like, oh my God, you are like destined for greatness. You cannot leave. You're what we need. You cannot let them force you out. If you leave on your own accord, or that's just not for you. But you don't let anybody deter you from your dream. That's her passion. She moved in the community because she loves the community. I mean, she had all the aspects there. It just needs to be fed. She needs to be molded. She needs to be encouraged. She needed to be supported. And so I really think that we are all put on this earth to be servants. And so it just depends on in what capacity. And so I think if you feed into her spirit and encourage her and help her and mentor her into where she is trying to be, then she's going to get there. She is amazing. She's there.
She just needed to be opened up and to get a little homework that Adrian gave her.
Right.
Yeah. I think like with anybody and coming into the fire service, whether it be female or male, some people are just from the very beginning, from the minute they walk into a fire station, maybe because of something that was observed at the training academy or recruit school, or they've got a big X on their back and they get beaten down by everybody because of something that people didn't even see. I mean, I know that rumors are not existent in the fire service that, you know, something doesn't happen here and 10 minutes later, the entire department hears about it. That just doesn't happen. We all know that. But but it's like some people come in into the fire service and they already have a big X on their back and they kind of get beat down. And I think it's not even as company officers, I think as any firefighter, I think we've all mentored somebody. I mean, when a new person comes into the station, even a firefighter, generally you'll see like the other firefighters start showing them around. I mean, I think it's just, you guys have mentioned it, it's human nature to want to help people. That's the service we're in, is to want to help people. So, I mean, and sometimes you will see, I mean, not as much as before. I mean, Sharon, you've been in a while. We all 31 years. I mean, probably when I was in 30 years when we first came in, I mean, the games that were played, Adrian, you've been in 26, the games that were played, not even with just females, but with the males about go find this on the engine and go do this and go do that. Just, I mean, I think that a lot of that is gone to the wayside, which is good. I mean, the hazing and such didn't need to be there. And I think now, but unfortunately, people still come in the door with a big X on their back. And I think not only as females, but as leaders, we should want to, as Adrian did at the conference, you know, take that person sort of under our wing and, you know, not only mentor them, but counsel them as well. You kind of counseled her as well and coach. So, I mean, you did all kind of three things at once. And I think as individuals, male, females, whatever, when somebody comes in the door, it shouldn't be our goal to want to beat them down. It should be our goal to want to build them up.
Sure, right.
And then Sharon, you mentioned that like you'll see somebody that has great potential to be the next great leader, so to speak, and you kind of take them under your wing. And that's what, I mean, male or female, and that's another misconception I think of mentoring, that only a female can mentor a female and a male can mentor a male, because there's some great males out there that want to see women succeed.
Oh, absolutely. I've had a few amazing mentors. And one thing, you know, I'm assuming most of you probably know Laura Baker.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. I gave her some really critical feedback back in the day. I had gone to one of the early iWomen conferences and I was wearing, you know, business clothes, heels, slacks, a nice blouse. And several of the instructors there called me the Barbie chief. Right. Oh, wow. And I thought, wow, this is interesting, because here we are as a group and a gathering of women talking, you know, trying to work through some of these pieces of where we're at in the fire service, and perhaps a lot of people there even were looking for some level of mentorship. And here we were as a group kind of doing the same thing that we were exposed to and didn't like then. So we have to gut check ourselves on that sometimes too. So what you said there, right, is if I'm a female, I shouldn't just be looking for a female mentor. I should be looking for a great mentor, whatever they are.
Right.
Leader who has the things that I'm trying to learn about. What knowledge base am I missing that I'm seeking out? It doesn't have to be someone just like me, and probably I'm going to be better off if they're not. So it's it was a gut check moment when I brought that to Laura. She's like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that. You know, it was this sisterhood piece, but then only if you were also conforming to some of the things that we kind of thought should have happened at those conferences. And I thought, wow, you know, are we any better if we're right, applying that same logic? So I totally agree with what you said there, Lisa, that, you know, seeking out your mentor really should just be this person's a great leader.
Exactly.
If you're really seeking out a leader or a mentor for the right reasons, that's what you're looking for. Do they have a good knowledge base? Can they help me? Do they speak and share their knowledge in a way that I could absorb it? Then yes, let me try to get there with them.
And I think another thing that really is important when we're looking for a mentor is, are they open and honest? Are they going to give us constructive criticism and help us correct what we need to correct, instead of like being afraid to like tell me that I'm doing something wrong, because they're afraid I'm going to get mad at them if they correct me on something. And that's not going to help me get to the level that I want to get to. And obviously, as somebody seeking out a mentor, I want to get to the next level, or I just want to maybe even just be a better firefighter. And so I need someone that's going to have that open, honest communication with me. And that's, I'm glad you brought up that point about the women. Sometimes the women could be our own worst critics and not support each other and build each other up.
Right.
We just want to break each other down, so to speak.
Right.
But
So
we're almost done here. I just got one more question. Do any of you assign a mentor when members are actually exiting recruit or the academy? Like if you see somebody that might need extra help when they're graduating, or...
You know, we did something that I think is helpful, and I would recommend it to any department. We didn't, quote, assign a mentor, right? We assigned them to a crew. It's assumed that crew is their mentored group. But we also sent them with a module packet, because what we were seeing was we'd put firefighter A over here and they would get all this extra energy and time and training and interest. we'd put firefighter B over here and that person would kind of sit like bump on a log, hoping someone would teach them something. So we put it out as a requirement for those crews that, hey, you got this little baby. We want you to raise them right, right? Here's a guide, a module packet. These are the things we expect you to go over them with in the first couple months. And it's broken down into four quarters. Hugely helpful. Our success rate with recruits went up from that. Because instead of someone just going, wow, who is, you know, they get out of their station after a year and they're like, who is this person? They don't know anything about what they're doing. And it's really because no one took interest. I mean, they graduated our 22-week academy. Obviously, they met standards. So what happened after that? So that module packet program, I think, is a little bit of a guided mentorship that helped them, required them to take an interest in their individual and mentor them and teach them for that good solid probationary year.
Yeah, we have a task appraisal book that has to be completed. So yeah, like you said, they get that hands-on training and then that, and as well as mentoring and then a little bit of coaching as well.
Yes, and we have the same thing as well. And I think it's great because it holds people accountable too, because all the pages have to be signed off by either, if it's stuff dealing with driving, the engineer, we call them POs. If it's stuff that the officer has to sign on and their signature, they have to turn that book in when they're done in order to get a black helmet. We keep you in a yellow helmet, as we call for the rookies, until you have completed that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we made it kind of fun at a station I used to be at. That officer was a fitness guru. And so we all end up working out, but we would make it fun. And like, if he didn't complete a task, push-ups for everybody, we'd be like, oh God, no. But it was, you know, it was part of that camaraderie as well. And so that was part of the mentorship, but then it made him also want to do better. Yeah, so it was cool.
Okay, so we're about out of time. So I would just like to thank all my wonderful guests for their knowledge and for being a part of the radio show. Thank you again to Fire Engineering, and thank you to the listeners and members of Women in Fire. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and to check out our website, which is womeninfire.org. Again, thank you to my panel.